Good morning. I'll get going because I've got a few notices. Good morning. I'm George, for anybody who doesn't know me. And just to welcome everybody, today is the day when we recall the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. A great day, the church's birthday. I won't make you sing happy birthday, but we do rejoice in a very special day in the Christian calendar. Just to say, we'll be having songs, prayers, readings, and when there's a song, please stand if you're able, but sit, and if you're standing, try not to obscure the view of the person behind you who really wants to sing out and can't. Right, some notices this morning. One from last week, we applauded Mark for his Christian Aid project. I'm very delighted to say that the total received is now over £1,500. So that includes gift aid and the church's contribution, but wonderful. A couple of new dates for your diary. Sunday the 5th of July. There are two things happening that day which you need to note. Sunday the 5th of July, firstly, we will be having a guest speaker from Compassion, which is the organisation that we support all our children through. So Keith from Compassion will be speaking on the Sunday the 5th of July. Also that day, after the service, there is going to be a farm picnic and open air service at Janet and Mike's farm in Nantwich. So that's Sunday the 5th of July, guest speaker and the farm service. Nearer than that, a week on Saturday the 6th of June, that's the weekend when we'll be focusing on Tekora. And on Sunday the 7th, Dan and Annie Dupree will be coming to pay their annual visit in person. So they will be leading the service a week on Sunday. And they can't actually attend the social evening, which we planned the evening before, but we are going to go ahead with that. So there will be a Tekora-themed social evening on Saturday. It's a good time to hold it because the nights are light, so anybody who's worried about driving in darkness won't have any problem. That's on Saturday the 6th. On Saturday the 6th, if anybody was able to help with food or refreshments, could they have a word with Christine, please? And on Sunday the 7th, when Dan and Annie are here, Christine and I we will host them for a meal, but if other people would like to join in, we might book somewhere and go somewhere. So if you feel you'd like to join us for lunch with Dan and Annie that day, is it worth putting a show of hands up? Is anybody interested? Jenny, okay, we'll come back to you. Was that hand, Marna? Right, so we might book somewhere to go to. So sorry, there are so many notices. Oh, yes, one other notice. I've been told by higher authority that I am not allowed to run to lead the farm service this year. I read it last year. So I've been told by higher authority that I have to ask for a volunteer to lead the service. So thank you. So sorry about so many notices. We're now thinking about Jenny's theme. Jenny Wakefield will be preaching to us later, which we'll be looking forward to very much. And her theme is Obedience, Reward and Effect, the coming of the Holy Spirit in power. So let's just pray for a moment. We just pray, Lord, that you will bless our worship and us this morning, and that you will bless all that's said and thought this morning, and especially Jenny when she comes to preach. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll begin with a song. Please stand if you are able. We're going to sing There's a Call to Holy Passion. Turn to the Word of God, and we're going to read from Acts chapter 1. There'll be two Bible readings. We'll be reading from Acts 2 later. So, Acts chapter 1 from the beginning. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was speaking with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Thank you, Lord, for that reading from your word. Now, for the what we're going to do now, we've got something for the children to do, and I'm going to tell the adults a couple of stories. So, how do you fancy? The Holy Spirit has several different emblems. One of them is a dove. One of them is a flame of fire. I'll bring a sheet to you in a minute, Freya. So you can have a go at colouring those in. You want to, okay. And the third symbol is the wind. That's perhaps an illustration of it. Did we have a balloon that they can try blowing around? Rather weak, I'm afraid. I did think about an industrial grade fan, but
yes.
So while they're working at that, and we'll have a look at your pictures in 5 minutes when you've had a. Just sort of tell you a couple of stories which particularly come back to me when I think about Pentecost. There's stories about the work of the Holy Spirit, stories by two different Christian friends that I knew years ago. Our old friend Albert, who was once our pastor, told a remarkable story of how about when he was a young man, he was praying at home one night, late at night, and he heard a loud roaring sound. And he didn't think much of it because he lived next to, I think he lived in Stafford or somewhere, he lived next to the railway track. So he thought it was just a train going past. So he waited for it to subside, and it didn't. And as he kept on praying, this roaring sound kept on, and he suddenly felt God stirring his heart powerfully. And he didn't know what to do. So he went out and started walking through the darkened streets. And nearly all the houses had no lights on. But one house was lit up. And Albert didn't know why, but he went up to this house and knocked on the door. And it opened immediately. And the people inside said, "Come in, we've been waiting for you. We need you to pray with someone." And they took him to a bedroom where the man of the house, sadly, had just had a severe heart attack and was lying extremely ill. And Albert immediately knelt down and started praying for this man. And when he finished, the man said he felt much better. And the man was back at work the next morning and absolutely healed. And when Albert told us his story, he said 20 years later, the man was still in fine health. And, God had obviously... And other amazing things happened to Albert after that. As I say, he heard this roaring sound. It went with him through the streets until he found the house where he was being sent to. So God moves by the Holy Spirit. And I guess the message of that story is God still does amazing things in our time as he did 20 centuries ago. Not, of course, that we should spend our time chasing miracles. As someone once said, Christians shouldn't follow signs. Signs should follow Christians. My second story comes from a girl who was once in our youth group called Maggie. There are a few stories I think of more often, actually. I used to see Maggie on the train a long time ago, but haven't seen her since the wedding. She married a soldier and went to Germany. But Maggie's story still remains with me. One night she had a dream. And in that dream, she saw an altar rail the sort of rail that people in church go up to and kneel at when they want prayer. And there were three people kneeling along the rail. And there was someone behind the rail who was walking along and praying with each one in turn. And she knew somehow in a dream this person was Jesus. And Jesus went to the first person and spent a long time with that person, talking to them, praying with them, ministering to them, spent a long time supporting them. And then Jesus went to the second person and spent much less time with that person, maybe just a minute. And then Jesus went to the third person and just exchanged a few words with that person and walked on. And Maggie told us her dream, and she said, well, she presumed the first person must have been the one that was really close to the Lord and really knew him very well. And the middle one knew him moderately, and the last one maybe only knew Jesus slightly. So Jesus didn't spend much time with that person. However, there was another girl in our group called Barbara, and Barbara had a gift for interpreting dreams. And Maggie shared a dream with Barbara, and Barbara prayed about it. And Barbara said, no, Maggie, you're wrong. The person that Jesus spent a long time with was someone who knew him little and needed an awful lot of support and love to get to know him better. And the last person was the one who knew Jesus best, someone who only needed a few words from him because he knew very well what each other were thinking. In the same way that maybe two best friends do, or a husband and wife, or a brother and sister, or father and son, or mother and daughter. They knew Jesus really well. And so I guess we learn from Albert's story that God still works in power today. But from Maggie's story, we need to learn God doesn't only work in the lives of certain people. I mean, for instance, I don't know whether you... There was once a missionary to India called John Hyde. I don't know whether you may have heard of him. He was known as Praying Hyde because he prayed so much. And it was said that people who had looked in while he was praying actually saw a flame flickering over his head as he prayed. And but that doesn't mean that John Hyde was someone who was special to God. It simply means that John Hyde was someone who had made God special and spent a lot of time praying with him. And Maggie's story always reminds me we should never take the Holy Spirit for granted, and we should never think that, oh, it happens to them, it won't happen to me, I'm not that close to the Lord. God's plans might be rather different for you. He might want to work in you. So I just thought those stories have always struck me as thought-provoking. We're going to turn now to a worship block, and we'll sing three songs. In the third of the three songs, we'll take the collection, please. So we're going to start with There's Nothing Worth More.
I worship. thank you, Lord, for what we've been able to give you, because we can only give you what you have given us already. So we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated. And how are we doing with these pictures?
Subtle, the powerful, the expensive lady. Right, a round of applause. Now let's wait for the children as they leave.
Father, we thank you that the young have eyes and ears and thoughts and bodies that are fresh. And Lord, we just really ask that you would bless them as their lives begin to flower and as the Holy Spirit begins to move in their lives. And we pray for the Sunday school teachers this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll turn to our intercessions, and let's pray. Father, first of all, we bring before you those who are grieving loss, and we bring before you the family and friends of Moira Craven, whose funeral is on Tuesday. And we just really ask that you would lift them up and that you would bless them many ways, in particularly in reflecting maybe upon the faithfulness to Christ that we saw and loved in the life of Moira. I bring before you those others who have lost loved ones recently. Bring before you Mary King and Helen Cockrum, Ninette, friends of Harold and Kay Bayliss. And Lord, we just pray that you would lift each of these up in your love as they remember the happy memories of the lives that they spent. We bring before you, Lord, those who are suffering in various ways. We just bring before you Daphne and ask that you would really minister to her and bring about a medical change in her by your Spirit, that she might be aware that God is moving in her body and in her life. Bring before you Lou Farry, who's still in pain, recovering after her knee surgery. Lord, we just ask that you would build her up towards better strength. We pray for Kay Schoen, Lord, who also is recovering from her surgery. We bring before you Joe Metcalf and Alan, and we just thank God for the news of no serious implications there. But Lord, we just really ask for both Joe and Alan that you would lift them up and strengthen them and bless their health. And of course, we bring before you Eunice and Susie. And we pray very much for Susie, Lord, as she faces more medical interventions. And Lord, we just lift her up and ask that your mercy might be evident in her life and be seen by us to be so. And we pray for any others known to us. We bring before you the world around us, and Lord, we just pray for the community that we live in, the town that we live in. We pray for our neighbours and friends and those who are lost because they do not know Christ. We pray for our families. We pray for the world, and we bring before you the deep troubles in many parts of the world. And we pray, Lord, for your ministry. And we pray for any projects in which we are personally involved. We just bring before you Tekora and just pray in preparation for the ministry of Tekora and Tananani. And we bring before you our Compassion Children and pray for them. And we bring before you all the charities that we support. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to read our second Bible reading from Acts chapter 2. Surprise, surprise. Going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Then we'll sing a hymn and Jenny will come to speak to us. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Thank you, Lord, for your words. We'll turn to sing the hymn, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Oh,
Do you want to come, Jenny, and I'll pray for you? Father, we pray for Jenny. We pray that the Holy Spirit will rest upon her, that her words might be as from you. We pray that you would move in her life, that she might inspire us by pointing us to Jesus, so that he might move in ours. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, George. And Pentecost was a great celebration in the Jewish festival, which I'll come to a little later. As they were there, were they discussing together? And how often did they wait in silence for the blessing of God? I think where I have experienced the most powerful blessing of God was in a church that was lifted in praise and worship, not my church, a church I was visiting. A church that was lifted in praise and worship and led to the very throne of heaven. And when the young man stopped his singing, a silence, a holy silence, filled that church. The very presence of God was there. And I know when I sat with all the other dear people, we all experienced the wonder, the joy, the just amazement of being in his presence so obviously. And I think this is what happened first of all in that upper room that long ago. There was a rumbling of wind, but also on the heads of each of those who were present, not just the 12, all who were present, all who loved Jesus and regretted his going but wanted to serve him still, tongues of fire, representing cleansing, representing presence, representing power with gentleness. And as the wind grew in that place, they looked in amazement at each other and were concerned as to what was happening. And then after the wind came the mighty Medjugorje, they began to speak in other tongues. Oh, my friends, there are so many misunderstandings about the gift of tongues. On this occasion, when they opened their lips, the languages that came out met the needs of all they were going to go out to. God prepared his people to go out after their obedience, to go out and to share and to be understood. And the tongues came. But there is another holy tongue, a tongue that we speak only to God with, a wonderful language that we ourselves do not always understand. But it's a beauty and a flow and a presence and a glory that brings you into his presence. And I believe that on that day, as the tongues of fire represented their purity, and then the wind, the power of God was around, so great that it was heard outside the room, and people came out. What is this? What is this sound? Where's this wind? It's like us going out, say, today, and all of a sudden a mighty wind would come. It would be very strange on a day like this, wouldn't it? But on a day like this, a mighty wind filled not only the house, but the streets outside, and the people came out, and all who were present were praising Christ and speaking of him, and people of all countries understood. Wow, how was that? And just so wonderful. And they said, can't understand it. They're speaking in, they're Galileans, thick people, you know, people from down south. No good at all. But they were speaking in the languages and glorifying Christ and God in their own tongue. Wasn't that wonderful? So here they spoke in their own tongues. And I love this. Peter, who had been restored by Christ. His denials had been forgiven, he had been reinstated, and he still was nervous, as were the other disciples. But when the Holy Spirit came with fire, that Spirit that assured them that they were God's people, he got up with such courage, and he went and he spoke to the multitude, the people of all nations that were in front. And what did he speak? He said, "Come off it, you Jews. You're not the only one God loves. God loves all people. God sent Jesus for all people. But you took him, and you beat him, and you tried him, and you crucified him." Well, he spoke so powerfully that the people listened and regretted what they had done. That's the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. He brings even us to a point of regret when we are people who perhaps have lived our lives in a way that has hurt others, has not been good in the sight of others and in the sight of God. But that wonderful heave, that wonderful wind and that presence of God in Peter was so powerful that when he spoke, he brought the people to repentance. And here we see how the people, they repented. And when the people heard that they were this, the way they treated Jesus and who he was and what they had done to God's only son, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin." The first thing the Holy Spirit does when he touches anyone's lives is to bring them to the foot of the cross. He brings us to Jesus. That's his whole purpose, to open up the way for our sins to be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all who our Lord our God will call. He calls us by his Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that comes upon us and brings us to a point of repentance. It is the Holy Spirit that lifts us from that repentance and fills us with the joy of salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that equips us to get up and go in our lives, to live our lives well for God and well for others. Christ dwells in us. Oh, my friends, I do so much want you to lay hold of that truth. Once the Holy Spirit claims you, he never, never leaves you, because he is Christ himself. And Jesus promised, "I will never leave you or forsake you to the very end of time." Isn't that marvelous? And we need to hold on to that basic truth of our faith. And in so doing, we can then go and tell. I don't say we're all going to be Peters and we're all going to stand up in front of masses and, share the gospel in a very effective way. But we can sit beside a neighbor who perhaps is low in spirit. And you can speak kind words, not necessarily mentioning the Lord, but the very way you treat people, the way you love them, the way you care, shows something through you that is different to the world, that does these things, yes, but then gets up and goes. But we, as Christ's people, we speak to the Lord concerning those we have concern for. And he, by his Spirit, enlivens them and encourages us. In our modern generation, it's so wonderful. The Holy Spirit does not come again, does not come again, does not come again. He came. He is. And he refreshes those who love him. When we are converted, we are forgiven through the blood of Christ. We are filled with the Spirit of God who gives his righteousness to us. But what a responsibility that righteousness is. We need to hold it in gentle hands and gently follow God in such a way that we do not become cocky with him, but we are always humble in spirit. That doesn't mean downhearted, that means that we realise his greatness and his authority. And the lovely thing is too that when we go out into society, there are opportunities to share the love of God wherever we go and tell the people their need of God. Peter's address to the Jews at that time, well, how they had treated Christ, how they had abused him, how they had ignored him, how they had put him down in the sight of others. But then when they realized what they had done, what does that mean? They were sinning. And sin is the great thing that separates us from God. But when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he keeps us aware of our wrongdoing. He helps us to live up and over it and to leave it behind. This morning, I do so want to encourage each one of you to, as Christ's followers, Christ's people, the church. I loved it when George said, the church's birthday, the church came to be. Now, on the 50th day, Pentecost, as the 50th day it stands for, it was then that they brought to the temple, the Jewish believers brought their first fruits of their crops, the very best, the first fruits. They brought to the temple and presented to God and gave God thanks for the harvest that they had had. God harvested over 3,000 souls that day. When Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit entered the lives of 3,000 people, not from Jerusalem, but from all over the world. Isn't that wonderful? So do celebrate this day with joy, with thanksgiving, and really lay on your hearts, Lord, how can I make my light shine for you in my community, in my family, among those I love, among those I don't get on with? Lord, may I please show your love and bring your love through. So thank you for listening to me, and may you have a truly challenging and joyful Pentecost. Lovely. We're going to sing a very lovely modern song now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you. And Lord, as we go out of this place, we know that you are ever with us by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ himself. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for giving to us your Son and giving to us your Holy Spirit, that we may walk this world in confidence, knowing that we are loved and that others are loved by you. Go with us, be with us, and use us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.